Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Podcast of a Thousand Holes. My name is Mike, and it's a solo show this week. Partially, it's my fault. My work schedule is pretty horrendous at times. I work night shift. I'm asleep when everyone's awake. I'm at work when everyone's asleep. My evenings are tied up with my kids, and so it's difficult for me to record sometimes, and so that's on me. My other show, What Did You Watch This Week? My best friend, he lives a couple miles down the road. We work together, so you know, we were able to find a time to get together to record. But with Podcasts for a Thousand Holes, all my co-hosts are out of state for the most part, and they have normal 9-to-5 lives for the most part. I just don't. But I didn't want you to go without a show this week. As you can see, we're kind of doing the every other week thing right now. Until we can try and swing the every week thing again when my schedule accommodates that. So please bear with me for that for a little while. I didn't want you to miss out on me talking about wrestling, because that's what I love to do. It's a lot more fun to talk against someone else, but anywho. Elimination Chamber is this Sunday, and we'd be remiss not to at least put a show out telling you what my thoughts are on the Elimination Chamber. So far, there's 4 advertised matches. Asuka vs. Nia Jax for a singles match. If Jax wins, she'll be added to Asuka's championship match at WrestleMania 34. Yeah, I don't see that happening. I don't see Nia Jax winning. I don't see anyone beating Asuka for the foreseeable future. Maybe WrestleMania. I don't know. She's just... whoever beats her, it's got to be special. It just can't be a quick or one-off or a small package. I mean, it's got to be special. And I don't remember Asuka ever deciding that she was going to challenge for the Raw title. Like, she never came out and said it that I was aware of or I could remember seeing. It just seemed to be like, oh, that's what's happening. But speaking of the Raw Women's title, it's in the first ever Women's Elimination Chamber match with Alexa Bliss and Bayley and Mandy Rose and Mickie James and Sasha Banks and Sonya Deville. I don't see anyone coming out of this with a title besides Alexa Bliss. Definitely not Sonya Deville. I don't think she even deserves to be in it. I think she's still green still. Mandy Rose, maybe. Mickie James, yeah, that's fine. Sasha Banks, Bayley, they're going to be fighting with each other. I think Alexa Bliss is going to somehow sneak away with a victory on this one. Woken Matt Hardy versus Bray Wyatt in a singles match. I feel like we've seen it enough already. And Braun Strowman versus Elias Samson versus Finn Balor versus John Cena versus Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins versus The Miz. An Elimination Chamber match for the Universal Championship match at WrestleMania 34. Now, if you noticed, I said 7 names instead of the typical 6. So I feel like this match is going to start out as a triple threat and then add the other 4 guys as the match progresses. That's the only logical thing I can think of. It's not like they're going to empty a pot, put someone in a pot, empty a pot out again. I know everyone's been saying from the beginning of time that it's going to be Roman Reigns taking on Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. And all I can say is, God, I hope not. And also, the main event of WrestleMania has to be Shinsuke Nakamura versus AJ Styles. Really, they don't have any choice besides to make it Shinsuke Nakamura versus AJ Styles. Because that's really the most logical thing you can do. I mean, that match has to main event that. Paul came over the other day. We sat down. We watched Nakamura versus Styles from Wrestle Kingdom 10. I also showed him a bunch of other New Japan matches from New Japan World featuring Minoru Suzuki, Katsuyori Shibata. The most recently, Himuro versus Will Ospreay from New Beginning Osaka in February for the junior title. I mean, phenomenal matches. And he finally saw Kenny Omega for the first time when he watched Kenny Omega versus Chris Jericho from Wrestle Kingdom this year. But anyhow, we watched AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura. It's just as good as I remember from WrestleMania 10. And I feel like this, I mean, Wrestle Kingdom 10, and I feel like this is the match that has to main event WrestleMania. It has to. And if it does, it'd be the first time ever that a match that was featured and headlined Wrestle Kingdom will be featured and headlined at WrestleMania. So that's pretty cool too. Speaking of pretty cool, Colt Cabana is going to China in April, and he's going to challenge for the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship. They're doing this thing where Nick Aldis is facing 20 challengers in 60 days or something of that nature, and they haven't announced who all they're going to be yet, where the dates are, where the locations are, but on the most recent podcast, NWA podcast, and on their YouTube show, they made the announcement that Colt Cabana is going to face Nick Aldis or whoever the champ is in April in China. If you watch the Seven Loves of Hate DVD that Adam Pearce did, which features his feud with Colt Cabana and then the controversy behind it and the controversy around the NWA title, the fact that Cabana is challenging for the NWA World Championship again is kind of surprising in itself. Not as surprising as James Ellsworth challenging Nick Aldis for the NWA World's title at Championship Wrestling from Hollywood recently. And initially when they announced this, I dismissed it as being stupid and just ridiculous in my opinion. However, you know, that video has gotten more views than almost all the other NWA videos. And sincerely, I guess, good call to the NWA booker, to De La Vega, to Billy Corgan for putting that match in, because apparently Ellsworth's name does bring enough behind it now after his WWE run to pull people over to that. And the match itself was pretty good. You know, with Nick Aldis retaining the title. So I wish they would just list the dates, the locations, and the names of the challengers for the title. And, of course, the stipulation is if Naldis is still the champion at that time. So that way people would know where to watch, know where to see, maybe know where to go watch it live if it's in their area. Because I know, I, for one, have never seen the NWA title match in a title. In a match. I've never seen it defended. I met Colt Cabana when he was NWA champion his first time back in 2012. A couple years before that, when Christian Cage was in the NWA, 2008 I think it was, when Christian Cage was the NWA world champion for TNA. Might have been 2006. I probably should look that up before I spout it. But anyhow, I met both of them when they were the current champion, but I've never seen the match defended. The title's never been defended in Maine. I would love to see that match come to Maine. That championship come to Maine. This past Monday night on Raw, they presented a 1 hour and 47 minute match, which is truly remarkable. I mean, to have that gauntlet match and actually have it go as long as it did, and you got Seth Rollins wrestling in it for 65 minutes on his own. I mean, the next time they have a gauntlet match that goes 15 minutes, I got some explaining to do, you know? Solid match. I count it as one match, not multiple matches, and I actually really enjoyed it. It was good to see Rollins get the win over Reigns and the win over Cena, and then it was good to see Elias go over Rollins, so he looks strong, especially going into the Chamber match this week. Elias didn't work for me when he was in NXT, but he works for me while he's up on the main roster for whatever reason, so, you know, kudos and awesome. I went to IWE Wrestling a couple weeks back, in February here on the can't recall the date, but that's okay. And I saw the franchise Shane Douglas in person, and I had talked to him before the show, February 9th. I talked to him before the show about people still chanting ECW, and I may have mentioned this on the last episode, but he had commented that to him, people chanting ECW means that what he did, it's humbling to him that what he did all those years ago and what all of them did all those years ago still resonates today with people, still makes people, you know, love what they saw. But he also says that it's also a bad thing, because that means that the current product, and no product since then, has been able to connect with the fans like ECW did. It has been able to resonate with the fans like ECW did. And to me, he's got a point. I mean, at this point, I really can't stand it when you have an old ECW alum wrestler on a card and the fans start chanting ECW. Because most of those fans were never alive when ECW was at its heyday, or they were too young to remember when ECW was at its heyday. And I get it, you want to be a part of something, but like Shane Douglas said, the famous night he threw down the NWA World's Championship, it's a promotion that died, RIP, 17 years ago. Let's let it go. Be nostalgic. Wax nostalgic. Watch classic matches. Enjoy it from the privacy of your living room. when one of those wrestlers is on a show in your area, chant their name. Don't chant ECW. Chant their name. That's just my opinion. At the end of the show, I have a 7-minute audio clip I recorded at IWE after Shane Douglas's match with Big Moxie Matt Mahoney. The clip is just Douglas talking about wrestling, thanking the fans. Then you have Matt Mahoney talking a little bit about the nervousness he featured coming into this match. And then Douglas concludes the clip by announcing his triple threat partners, Bam Bam Bigelow and Chris Candido. So stay tuned the end of the show for that audio clip. I recorded it on my phone, so it's not the greatest quality, but you can still hear it, you can still enjoy it, you can still appreciate it. So, I don't know. I guess that kind of sums it up. Again, it's easier to talk to someone else. I don't have a whole ton of things sitting right here in front of me. I mean, I guess I could talk about Shane Douglas's match. What I wanted to hear the most is I wanted to hear Shane Douglas come out to his entrance music, which we did. I wanted to hear him say, cut the fucking music. He said, cut the damn music. I didn't catch that on my audio, but he still said, cut the damn music. And I wanted to see the belly-to-belly suplex. That I did not get. Instead, we get Douglas challenging Mahoney to a classic wrestling match and show these people a wrestling match. And then when it's not going Douglas's way, well, he brings out some heel tactics. And he starts raking the eyes and he starts hitting him below the belt when the ref's not looking, and taking him outside the ring to toss him around. He ends up getting himself rammed into the ring mat about more than halfway around the ring, which was quite entertaining, actually. And then ultimately at the end, Shane Douglas got the roll up with a handful of tights to secure the victory. So I was thoroughly entertained by Douglas. You know, I've seen him wrestle live in the past, and I've always been impressed. And he was just such a nice guy to talk to at the beginning and during intermission and whatnot. And it was just really cool seeing him live at the Fairfield Community Center here in Fairfield, Maine. I mean, that's a building I've been going to wrestling to now for 14 years, practically. And I've actually seen some of the biggest names in wrestling in that building. I mean, I've seen Jerry Lynn, Sanjay Dutt, Sasha Banks wrestled there previously as Mercedes KV. You know, Oney Lorcan wrestled there as, well, he wrestled there as Francis O'Rourke, you know, but obviously we all know him as Biff Busick. I've seen Savio Vega in that building. I've seen the Honky Tonk Man in that building. I have seen so many great names, including Steve Corino defending the AWA World Championship back when he held that title when Dale Gagne was running the AWA All-Stars of Wrestling. You know, I saw Ricky Landell in there defending the AWA United States Championship. I've seen some great matches in there. I've seen some great wrestlers in there. The much underappreciated and underrated Robbie Ellis Jr.'s tournament that featured a who's who of people. I mean, Matt Taven, Eddie Edwards. I mean, just a couple of names of the guys that were in that. I mean, it was a phenomenal tournament. I've seen a lot of great wrestling in that building. And I don't know. It's a fun building for wrestling. You know, Mike Bennett's been in there. Maria Kanellis. Jimmy Jacobs. Jimmy Wang Yang. I mean, Chris Hamrick. No one chanted ECW. At least I didn't. But I've seen some great matches in that building. It's a fun building for wrestling. It's familiar, obviously. It's not that far from my house. It's not too far off the interstate. It's got ample parking, which is nice. And it's just, I don't know, it's a fun venue to hold wrestling. Now, unfortunately, I think your max capacity in that building is going to be 350 at the most, and that's going to be with standing your own, some pretty tight seating situations, and maybe some questionable fire marshal code violations, if that, but so we'd never see Limitless there, but it's just, it's fun. So, thanks. Next episode will be me and somebody else. Please stick around, listen to Shane Douglas, his post-match promo from IWE Fairfield Made, February 9th, 2018. Don't forget to check me out on Twitter. I'm at SuperstarML. The show is at 1000 Holds Pod, Facebook's podcast of 1000 Holds. My co-host, Aaron Bell, is Aaron S. Bell. Ronnie's RonBar316. Brandon is at Lucha Koopa. Please go check out The Wrestling Insomniac, my wrestling blog, where I most recently posted the last match of the Fabulous Freebirds. Brandon posted his Ring of Honor Honor Reigns Supreme live report from Concord, North Carolina. My live report from my show with Shane Douglas, including photos and all kinds of other things on there. I mean, I've got over 300 posts now for the last couple of years. Got a bunch of reviews. Got a bunch of last match posts and columns. Come check it out for me. Give me a like. Leave some comments. Let me know what you think. Thanks a lot.
I'd be lying to you if I didn't tell you what that hurt like hell. Years I've been going this barefoot. Problem is, in my head I still feel like I'm 15, but in my knees, lost so much. Maybe like 80. But honestly, you've all heard me on the podcast. You've heard me talk for years, right, man? Heard me talk for years about the crappy shape our industry is in. And the thing that a jackass Irishman named Trenton King McMahon called sports entertainment. Well, here's a news ring. This ring right here, that he just slammed my head all over the place in. That ring, in 1967, this very ring held a match between the late great Ivan Koloff and the living legend from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Bruno Sammartino. We have a choice, fans. We can either let Vince take it all away to come to you, or we can support companies like this one right here. And Big Monty was the only one hell of a fight. I might have had a couple of corners to win, but hope you don't mind a little team, but a franchise. From the bottom of my heart, I've never called myself a sports entertainer. I've always considered myself to be the best damn professional wrestler in the world. It's thanks to fans like you and around this world that gave a snot-nosed punk like Troy Martin from New Brighton, Pennsylvania, the opportunity to be the greatest sport on God's green earth. Mikey, it's my honor, my friend.
By the way, thank you. You did me a favor. I'm not having kids anytime soon. But seriously, from the bottom of my heart, you want to talk about a match that was no matter. Anybody who knows me personally will tell you I have been crapping my pants all week over this. And guess what? You can ask that woman right there because she works at the radio station that I do. But for real, this, no stretch of the imagination, no stretch of any kind of truth, this was the greatest honor of my life. And I would tell these people to start if you still got a chance, but franchise, you never lost it. So from the bottom of my heart, and from the bottom of every single one of those people's hearts, thank you.
We raised the three fingers of ECW. And meant something very specific. It used to take four guys, legends, to do what three ECW could do. Two of them are no longer with us. So if you enjoy this, let me abide for one more minute. Can I introduce my brothers upstairs for you? God bless y'all. I love you.